Bill Flores joins us this morning. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Howdy, Scott. Great to be with you on News Talk 1620.
Thanks. I'd like to start with your comments on the killing of Major General Harold Green yesterday in Afghanistan.
Well, it's a tragedy, of course. I mean, the loss of any American soldier, sailors, or Marine is a big loss. It just shows the difficulty that we have as we transition from providing American military security to having the Afghans take care of their own security. When I was there about a year ago, you know, it looked like we were making good progress, but it does look like it's becoming a little bit more difficult now, and some of the death tolls have gotten higher, not among Americans, but among Afghans. And so I'm hopeful that the administration will prosecute the change to Afghan security of this war and not pull out too quickly.
Let's talk about a pretty busy end of the week last week for Congress as y'all left to go back to the district. You did take some action.
It was we were very busy. We passed an Endangered Species Act reform bill. We passed a bill to file litigation against the president to try to compel him to become accountable and to follow the Constitution. We also provided $225 billion to Israel for their Iron Dome project. And then the biggest thing that we did last week, well, actually, there's another thing. We passed the Veterans Administration conference bill to try to reform the health care system in the VA, and then also to hold bad actors in the VA accountable for their activities. And then the biggest thing last week was to deal with the border crisis. We passed two bills. One is to focus on border security, to also put in additional legal or judge resources, if you will, so that we can have hearings more quickly and return these unaccompanied minors back to their families in Central America. And then we also passed reforms to the 2008 trafficking law so that the unaccompanied minors that come up through Central America or through Mexico from Central America are treated just like anybody that would be trying to enter the country illegally from Canada or Mexico. Then we also passed a separate bill that deals with the president's deferred action activities from 2012. That's what put the big flashing light on our border and said, come on, come north. We'll allow you to stay here and we'll provide you some taxpayer benefits. So we passed a bill to stop that activity. Hopefully that we'll turn the advertising off that's been used in Latin America for all that's encouraging families to send their kids up here.
Bill Flores joining us this morning from in the district. You mentioned, of course, the VA reform. That's $14 billion. But included in that is something that I think House Republicans have done lately, and that is that you're actually raising taxes, and it's not a pay-as-you-go type situation. I mean, there, as I was reading it, it's you're doing something called pension smoothing, which gives you a tax revenue boost now, and later on you'll lower the tax revenue, but a report I was reading this morning in the Washington Times says that we're looking at adding $1 trillion to the federal debt in the next decade, and this is a Republican-controlled House of Representatives that's doing this.
Well, the pension smoothing was actually tied to the highway bill that was. Let me give you a little background. The
sure.
Highway Trust Fund is going to run out of money from the gasoline tax this month or next month, and so what we did is we passed a bill to provide a patch on that fund to keep it funded through early next year until we can come up with a longer-term solution to deal with the way the Highway Trust Fund is funded. I think pension smoothing is a little gimmicky myself. In the grand scheme of things, it was a better solution, I think, to patch the Highway Trust Fund until we can come up with a long-term solution, than to let a bunch of projects stop at midstream. And I think that would have been pretty unfortunate to let that happen. Somewhere down the road, we've got to look at the Highway Trust Fund and see how do we really deal with this, and is this an activity that's better left to the states? In my opinion, it is. I think we ought to turn the federal gas tax down to something approaching zero and then push the whole highway construction and funding issue back to the states, I think we'd have a better solution than what we have today.
Bill Floor is joining us. So, and people know, you have a background in business. You're a CPA. You didn't grow up in politics. But, I mean,
right,
we're looking at $155 billion research and tax development credit, $90 billion expansion of the child tax credit for higher-income families, $2 billion enhanced tax deductions for businesses. There are people in your district who are not going to be happy that this is a Republican-controlled House that's passing tax increases.
Well, now, Scott, on those, which most of the things you just named were either tax extenders or tax reform.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd call them mini tax reforms. And those, I mean, the way the Democrats like to talk about them, they always like to say that any sort of tax extender or tax reform is adding to the deficit. I think exactly the opposite is true, because those encourage more business activity, and because you have more business activity, you have more revenues to the federal government, or you have more economic activity, and therefore more revenues to the federal government. We as Republicans have never scored tax bills saying, okay, if you lower taxes by 1%, that it adds to the deficit, because exactly the opposite is true, because you have more economic activity, and you actually reduce the deficit. The Democratic talking points in this particular, with respect to those things, were that we added hundreds of billions of dollars to the deficit, and that's just clearly not true. I mean, each of those things, I think, provides some impetus for economic growth so that we can work our deficits back down.
But there's not an offset in the budget for it, is there?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We always have offsets in any time we change a spending bill. For instance, the Highway Trust Fund, that the patch that was done to that, anytime we do something like that, we always have an offset. For tax bills, we don't have offset, because the philosophy of conservatives is that when you change the tax system to make the country more competitive, then you produce economic activity, which produces the tax revenues. Unfortunately, the Congressional Budget Office doesn't score it that way, but that's the way American families score it, is thinking, okay, if I get to take home more of my money, then I am better off, and it allows me to become part of a healthier economy.
Right.
And, you know, ultimately they want to pay more activities because they're making more money.
Sure. 51, we had a Washington Post ABC poll we were talking about in the last hour, which is interesting. 51% of Americans surveyed now say that their member of Congress, their member of Congress individually, is not doing the job they should. And it's the first time in 25 years that number's been over 50%. Your thoughts there?
Well, I have to agree. I mean, it's been really difficult to serve in a divided Congress. When I was first elected in 2010, we had a change in Congress where you had the Senate controlled by one ideology and you had the House controlled by conservatives. And as a result of that non-alignment of ideology, not a lot gets done. The House has passed over 400 some odd bills in the year and a half that of this Congress, the 113th Congress, and has sent them to the Senate, and very little has been taken up in the Senate. So the net result is Congress is viewed as do nothing, even though one part of it is doing a lot, the other part is doing nothing. So everybody gets scored on the least common denominator, which is low Senate activity. And so, yeah, I mean, it makes us all look bad because Harry Reid and the Senate won't do anything. I wish there was something I could do about it, but all I could do is just make sure the American people, and particularly the good folks in the Brazos Valley, know everything that we passed to try to make the country better off and to produce more jobs and better paychecks. But unfortunately, we all get viewed through this same do-nothing lens because the Senate's not taking care of its business.
Finally today, you were the darling of MSNBC as they talked about you and comments that you had made in a town hall meeting about impeaching the president would not be a good idea, while other members of the Republican delegation in the House are saying it would be a good idea.
I'd ask people that. Well, first of all, it's not good to be a darling on MSNBC for sure. I mean, that's not something I asked to do. Let me give you the background. We had several teletown hall meetings over the last 2 weeks with about 9,000 participants, and during our Pflugerville Austin town hall meeting last week, somebody recorded the answer to a question that was asked to me about impeachment, and then they put that up on BuzzFeed, and then it got picked up around the country, or by different media sources. The bottom line was, is I just pulled out the Constitution, and I quoted the Constitution to the in response to the question on the town hall. And I, in particular, I talked about the part of the Constitution that says the Senate has to get a two-thirds vote to convict somebody under impeachment. I said, that's impossible to do. Why would we want to spend our time and divide the country and potentially make the president or help the president recover from his terrible performance ratings? And so that's essentially what I said, is that it would be better to look at other alternatives versus trying to the impossibility of impeachment. And then I also used the example of Bill Clinton. I mean, the Congress tried to, or the House impeached Bill Clinton back during his term, and then the Senate failed to convict him. And what happened is Bill Clinton came out of this more popular than he went into it. And the last thing we need to do is somehow help the president with his sagging approval ratings by going through something that won't work. And so that's what essentially got picked up in the media.
Well, actually, for the record, you'd said the same thing in Bryan back in September of 2013.
Absolutely.
I was there when you said it.
I've been on the same page. My philosophy about doing things, if you're going to do something, make sure that you've got a high likelihood that the country is going to be better off when you're done than not doing it. And in this case, trying to go down that route, I think, is a non-starter because, you know, first of all, the media, not you, of course, but the media is not going to portray it fairly. They're going to take the side of the president on this issue, and the president's going to wind up recovering. Yeah, back to that, to the town hall meeting in Bryan-College Station last September, that was also recorded and put on BuzzFeed, and the video segment of my answer was about 5 or 6 minutes long. And then my good friends at the Huffington Post and MSNBC only picked up the little clip that was less than a minute, that where we talked about the House, about what the House thinks about impeachment. And so it made it look like I was kind of a wild-eyed nut.
Walter Cronkite,
going after the president.
Walter Cronkite called it distortion through compression. So it,
that's true. That's what it was.
That's it. Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning.
You bet. Look forward to talking to you next week. I'd ask our listeners to continue to pray for our country, our military men and women, our first responders, and also let's pray for our Border Patrol. We just lost an agent this past weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.